Hey everyone, welcome back to Son of a Binge. Today we have a Yellow Jackets legend. If I saw her in the woods, I would run, but thankfully it's on a Zoom. Everyone, Simone Kessel. And joining us today is Jazz Tankay from Variety because she loves Yellow Jackets and she loves Simone. So, hello everyone.
Hi, hello. What a lovely intro. Hi.
Well, you know, this was a big TV weekend for everyone. You know, there was the Succession finale. Yellow Jackets kicked off the finale weekend. Luckily, not their series finale, season two finale. And it was jaw-dropping, to say the least. So my first question to both of you is, are you okay? And Jazz, not you as much, though we live the trauma of watching it. Simone, let's hear from you. Like, what was that finale like for you?
To watch or to be a part of it?
Both
or,
of them.
All of the above. Yeah. So I watched it in real time with you. Actually, Jazz watched it before I watched it. And I have to say, I was anxious leading into it to watch it because I had seen moments in ADR, but I hadn't watched it as a whole, and especially the young cast and the duality with the older cast and everything. And I was sort of a mixed bag. I have to say, like, there was so much in that episode. And I remember when we were filming it, we spent so much time, and it's beautiful, and I think it's worth it, drawing the cards. Remember that scene where they're drawing the cards and then they hold it up and then she passes the pack and she's like, again, again. And then they pass it, and darling Lottie is devastated that she doesn't get the queen. Like, she just wants it. She wants, she's done, you know. And seeing that, and then the finale, then the section when we chase Melanie and Shauna's character, you know, it all happens so fast. She gets shot, there's guns and everything, and then beautiful Natalie dies in Misty's arms. When we filmed it, it was such a grueling night shoot. We did two nights and we started, I think call time was at like 5 PM, which means we would wrap then at 5, 6 the next day. So we were all like cold and vulnerable and emotional. And it really, I think, dawned on us, and I'll get emotional even thinking about this now, but it really dawned on us when Christina's holding Juliet. Because often they, you know, they do the wonderful sort of fake, did they die? Like the baby episode, you know, she's got the baby, it's alive. And then you realize it's only a dream. And it felt like a dream when we were filming it. And Juliet was great. She was in a really great space. And we were, and Christina was howling, you know, at it and taking her time away from the group. And it was just a lot. It was so much that we all kind of came away. We were freezing anyway. We all have these hot pockets shoved down our costumes, just so you know. I was like, now, one's going
to
fall
and
out.
To specify, not hot pockets the food, hot pockets the warmers.
Hot pockets the warmers. We would have had the real fucking hot pocket food because we were all like hungry and cold and over it and grumpy. And always eating in between takes. And I remember, yeah, the hot pockets were shoved in everywhere and there were always blankets on the ground. And by the end of it, we were running out of time. And it was just this madness. So it's very hard for me to watch it now as what it is, as the whole, because I remember being so cold, sitting on a hot water bottle while my arm was bleeding, you know, and then going, more blood, and running in and throwing more blood on me and you know, Lottie in this kind of comatose state. And so I'm still too close to it to enjoy it or watch it outside of the experience.
You know what I like? You just made us relive the trauma all over.
I know. I'm just sitting here.
You're welcome.
I know. I was like, okay, just when I'd gotten over it. And then, you know, this whole weekend has been traumatic. Simone, do you watch Succession?
I did, and I watched it last night. And I'm in awe of Sarah Snook, and I know her from here in Australia, and she's so wonderful in it. And it was really, I just like the twists. I was not expecting those twists either, right? Come on. That was so great at the end that the underdog takes over. And that gives me chills.
And it's so interesting Logan's children were exactly the type of humans that a man like Logan would raise. He just raised these, like,
gross.
He was so gross and so devastated. Like, one minute Roman is like insulting Kendall's children and saying, you know, they're adopted or whatever, and probably alluding to the fact that he might be impotent. And then the next, he's like, "Don't hit her; she's pregnant." I was like, Roman, make up your mind. Are you shitbag or are you good guy?
So then, and then she also then says, Shiv goes, "And you killed somebody," and it reminded me of Yellow Jackets with Misty. You did actually kill someone.
I know, you know. Misty is like the character that frightens me the most, and I understand I'm saying this to adult Lottie right now, but honestly, if I had to pick.
Because she's, what you see is what you get with Misty, right?
But yeah, but she's not. She doesn't openly talk about it. Like, you know, I think
and she
Lottie
doesn't believe
on her sleeve a lot more.
Exactly, Lottie knows who she is. I think Misty truly believes she's like a good person, and that's
she
more
really
dangerous.
Does, and that's way more dangerous. And yep. And she's like, "Why? I don't have a problem with it." And now we see that Walt is just as screwed in the head as she is. So you're yep. like, you know, how ruthlessly he just kills the detective. That was shocking to me because I hadn't seen that. That was crazy. Like, bang, bang. Okay. And by the way, and Elijah did it so well too. Like, he got out a chunk of dialogue just like that. And it was like, okay, well, there we go. And we're ended that storyline and on to
Misty and Walter. I feel like Tom and Shiv are going to have a sociopath child, but Misty and Walter, if those two procreate, absolutely not.
Back to Succession, you know that great, it was the moment for Shiv was when her brother, when he put his feet up on the table. Do you remember that in the office?
Yes. Yeah.
And he's swinging his dick.
Yeah.
He's swinging his dick and then he puts his feet up. He went from like, is it okay? Is it okay if I sit here? To then putting his feet up and you just see her lift her eyebrows and it's like, that's the fucking,
that's the moment that she realized those brothers will give her nothing. Yeah. Tom, for as shitty as he is, he always makes her the queen.
I know. It was such a good episode. It was so, it was such a,
but like, you know, Shiv's getting a lot of flack, whereas Tom has done the same exact thing. And you could argue his is worse because he was like whoring out his wife. Because he knows Lucas wants to sleep with her, yet Shiv is the one who everyone's like, oh, she's terrible. I was like, her name is Shiv. She shivved everyone. She told you.
I didn't
wait,
think
can we talk
that.
About the cheese scene? When he was licking the cheese, I was dying.
Okay, they're all improving in that. That whole
That's a total
thing,
improv scene.
It's all improv. And the more I was looking and watching it, I'm like, the line, they probably got one line of, you know what, fuck off. Or whatever that line is. And then they keep going it.
They just went.
And they just keep going it. And by this stage, the director's just like, I'm just going to keep the camera locked and you guys go for it. And it really felt like that, you know, like they know their characters so well at this stage and the dialogue and what the point of the scene is. And I feel like they just turn the camera on and these spectacular actors go with it, you know. And yeah, the licking of the cheese was clearly just.
Oh, and then he put it all over his beard, and I was like, oh my gosh.
Just stop.
What a great chunk
just
of cheese
stop.
Gone
You're
wrong.
All awful. But didn't you hope that when he swam out to the boy, out to the, sorry, the little platform, the pontoon, that he was going to drown?
No.
A moment. Oh, I was like, oh, he's going to drown. He's going to get cramp and drown. And there, you know, like, that was wishful thinking.
The problem with Succession is it makes you, like, feel bad for these terrible people. And then you become a terrible person. You're like, oh, I hope he dies. I hope he gets a leg cramp that kills him and drowns him.
See, mine is at the end when he's going towards the, I think it's the East River, whichever one it is. And I was like, is he going to go in? Like, am I going to have to deal with another, like, death?
Well, it's interesting. They probably, they filmed another one, which was played a red herring or whatever, of him going over the railing that they didn't use, obviously. But I don't know. I don't think Kendall is long for the world. Like, he doesn't have much.
You know what?
He's going to be fine.
They're horrible. They're fine. I was actually watching it thinking, I wonder what film he's going on to after this.
Oh, yeah. No, the actors are going to be fine.
Though? Wait, did you get spoiled? Did you get spoiled in Australia? Like, because when do they show it?
You're right, because they actually show Yellow Jackets here, I feel like before there, because we're a day ahead, because right now I'm your Tuesday.
Before we move on from Succession, I do have to say, Sarah Snook posted a picture with her new baby watching Succession, and someone on Twitter wrote, Succession is not appropriate for babies.
I'd let my kid watch Succession.
And I was like, I don't know why that was like my favorite statement, but that whole crew is fantastic. It's going to be a race to awards for them. But, you know, enough about Succession. Let's get back to Yellow Jacket. So one thing
some
I like to do.
Some more vile people.
Yeah, let's talk about all the vile people and all the shows that we are absolutely addicted to. So, you know, just I like to ask people to describe Yellow Jackets in 30 seconds or less. I'm going to do my version and then you guys can follow. So for me, it's a girls' soccer team gets into a plane crash, they get hungry, they eat each other, and shit gets weird. So that's how I describe it.
Do you have a script right there? I just have to ask, did you plan this?
Some of us prepare for podcasts, Jazz.
It was her question and then her answer. So it was very well executed. I think I would leave the eating each other out, though, because I think it kind of... People are like, oh, is that the cannibalism show? And you're like, there's so much more to it than that.
So much more.
Please don't cage us in with cannibalism, you know? And it's kind of like, well, okay, I'm going to flip it back to you. What would you do? Like you're starving. There's a body. What would you do? Like, seriously. And I think that's the beauty of the first season is the idea that they are so, so hungry. But by the end of the second season, they've lost their minds. They've lost, fully lost their perspective.
It's based on a true story, right? Or loosely on the flight to somewhere where they had to
do this. Well, there was the Argentinian soccer team, rugby team, that went down. But I mean, these are giant blokes who are, you know... So I think they sort of cherry picked some of these incredible stories. But the thing that it works is because all of us fly and you could all picture the plane going down and having to survive. So it really plays into our own absolute fears and our question of what we would do. You know, I just think it's the genius take on the idea that then we get to see them in present day and how their past is caught up with them. Yeah. So rather than the eating part of that statement of Yellow Jackets, I would say it's kind of more of a PTSD with scrumptious women.
No pun intended. Oh, okay. You win. You win this.
She wins.
Jez, don't even try.
Jez is a queen.
The flight thing, I'm Showtime, whoever decided to pair up with the TSA and put Yellow Jackets
as trays.
I would drive to New York or wherever the hell I'm going.
Yeah, I would like literally plane. I'd be like, I can't get on this flight right now. Speaking of Simone,
I'd want to steal one of those trays. I would just I'd literally also want to take steal the tray one. And just be like, I'm just going to put my shoes on over here and then fucking run through the airport with my tray.
What a sad reason for you to get pulled over at the airport. Can you imagine she gets arrested taking an airport bin?
We'd have to bail her out.
But I think so much though.
Can you imagine the headlines? I do think it's an excellent study on mental health though and trauma. This is what I can't stop thinking about, right? Especially in episode 6, like, because we want them all to get together, like the adults, because of the talent. But when they do, like, that's the beginning of Lottie's complete unraveling. Like, you know, when you've been exposed, like, I'm going to get serious, sorry. Like, when you've been exposed, like, trauma and, like, shit, like, your brain blocks that off. And then all of a sudden, it's like the Band-Aid is, like, coming off because these people are, like, present in Lottie's life. And she thinks, oh, I've been healing. And it just...
And there's something... Right. This is crazy. I was walking the dog and this woman came up and she recognized me, and I'm loving my anonymity here in Australia. And I had a cap on, I had my dog and I was just in my world. And she came up to me and she goes, hi, you're even more beautiful in real life. And I was like, and I'm not looking hot, but trust me, I was like crusty with a cap on. And I was like, oh, thank you. And I was like, there's something off about this woman, right? She was maybe 35 and her dog starts playing with my dog. And so I'm standing there and she goes, well, you must get recognized all the time. And I was like, well, not really, no. And she said, oh, then she just went into this. She said, I have short-term memory loss. So I've actually forgotten your name, but I remember your face. And she said, and then she just opened up to me as though I was Lottie. And she said, I've had a horrific trauma happen in my life and I have short-term memory loss from it, but I recognize your face. I just can't place your name. And I went, my name is Simone Kessel. And she said, okay, in half an hour, I won't remember that, but I just remember your face. And from that, I took away, I was like, oh, this is fantastic material.
It is.
Yeah, it's like to know that you've, yeah, it's a movie. And she remembered my face, but couldn't place my name or what she knew me from. And I was desperate to ask her what her trauma was, but of course I didn't. And, you know, I sort of walked away and I wrote a note to myself, like, great character note, the short-term memory. And the way she was just looking at me, like she knew me, but she couldn't place me. And it was so spooky. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is really interesting. And because when trauma hits, we all cope in different ways, right? So something severe had happened to this woman. And she said, each day is a struggle. So walking her dog, she wouldn't remember. And I'd be like, so what, you just keep walking your dog because you can't remember? And she was like, oh no, I can kind of remember that. And I set myself reminders, you know? And I was like, wow, this is a real thing. And these women, these people, human beings, we struggle in all different ways. So sort of sprinkling that into Lottie, I really wanted her to go there in that finale. And as Jazz said perfectly, that turning point was in episode 6 where it all, you know, it all happens, but that trauma being so severely beaten by Shauna and whatever else is going to happen to these characters that we've yet to even see, these women wear it and it's embedded, so that the hunt triggers that made sense for me now in hindsight. Like I remember questioning, going, hold on. So these women have all said, let's just humor Lottie here before, you know, the psych team arrive. But yet it actually triggers them and they go back to their primal instincts.
You know what I was going to say, not to cut you off, but like, it's sort of like as you get older and then you go back to your family's house and you think you're so mature and put together. And then a sibling or a parent makes one comment and then you're like, oh, all the progress I've made in my entire life gone in this one second. And you're like, I will murder you. And it's like something so small.
I know. And you're in this, the nostalgia of going home. And by then you're like, I'm done. I can't wait to get out of here.
And that's what all of these friends are to Lottie. They are family, and reluctant family at that, I'm sure. But they know each other so well, and that's why I think they can uncover these terrible, terrible things. How did so many, I mean, I know the trauma is what's made them all, but like, I mean, we should go through each and every character. But before we get back to like into the finale a little more, I want to kind of test you two on who knows Yellow Jackets best. Are you guys up for that?
I think Jazz is going to hands down on that.
No.
It's like
no.
When people ask me about Star Wars, don't ask me about anything Star Wars. I know nothing.
Well, luckily, I am going to help you guys with like, I could make it multiple choice, but we're going to do quick trivia, Yellow Jackets trivia here.
Oh, God. Okay.
All right.
How does this work?
You can make a sound.
Buzz.
And just buzz, go. Buzz. Some. Yeah. What's your buzzer sound, Jazz? Create one.
I don't know.
A cat.
It has to be.
No, do not rile that beast right now.
She has a cat in the background, guys.
Who howls.
Which she told me she was going to mute. And I was like, oh my God, what does she mean by that?
Oh my God, I'm not a psycho. Stop it.
I don't know. I've watched Yellow Jackets in succession. All right. Someone come up with a buzzer sound.
Well, it has to be buzz, 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 right?
Yeah, it can be that. Buzz,
buzz, buzz. Fine.
No, you can't both have the same one. You have to have a different one.
Oh,
it's my game.
Okay. It's just that Yellow Jacket says that's their chant, right? Okay. Buzz, buzz, buzz.
Simone gets buzz, buzz, buzz. And Jen, Jazz, sting. You'll get sting. That's your sound.
Sting. Yes.
Ugh, so lame. Okay, guys.
That's all you're getting.
Get ready. What? Right. Oh, I messed up the first question.
Buzz, buzz, buzz.
Okay. What does... Wait, she pronounces her name Thaisa, right? I'm not screwing that up. Okay, phew. Yep. What does Thaisa eat when she's sleepwalking?
Buzz, buzz, buzz. Dirt.
Jazz, you like literally had nothing. Did you freeze? Were you buffering?
The rat, but I was like, she wasn't eating the rat.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, and then the dog. No, she didn't eat the dog. She just decapitated it.
Wait, we're not there.
Right?
Just everyone slow down. All right. All right. Okay. First point, we know who didn't get it. Who sent the postcards?
Buzz, buzz, buzz.
Yes.
Sorry, I guess Jeff in the end? This is so unfair because, yeah, right?
Because... Yeah, but my brain is really slow right now because my body's in so much pain, but carry on.
Why is your body in pain? What have you been doing?
What did you do?
I've been like working out too much and my body is like, stop.
I love that. You need some magnesium. Okay.
All right.
Probiotic though.
I like how Jazz is making so many excuses for the fact that she's losing so badly.
But, well, it's wait, not fair. I'm down to two.
What is it? The best of what?
We'll find out. I didn't count my questions. Okay. Lottie says what phrase in the attic during the seance? And what is the phrase in English and in French?
I'll give it to you, Jazz.
I don't know.
Okay, I'll give you guys a hint. Is it... I didn't come up with multiple choice. Is it... Yeah, things are not good. And in French, really? That's... C'est ne bon pas. Okay, I took French a long time ago. Is it... It wants blood, which is il veut de sang in French. Yeah,
I think it's B.
Or is it, will you sleep with me? Voulez-vous coucher
avec moi? I want it to be C. Fuck it. There it is. Come on, give Lottie some love. Now we're talking.
Poor Lottie. She really does need some love.
She needs some love. And I feel for her because I've been getting so many comments going, well, Lottie just need, like the comments just kill me. The comments are so fantastic. And they're just like, I just want to hold Lottie. She's in so much pain. And so many people are like, see, we told you, Lottie, she's just broken and she's insane. She wasn't mean. And she was a... So it's been a really nice kind of, but by the end, she just needs a cuddle.
She really does need a cuddle. She just needs a little more than that. I mean,
she needs a hug in relationship in like season three. She needs a relationship.
The Twitter comments on Lottie are some of my favorite. I just peeked in on them and
I don't know. I'm not good on Twitter. Tell me about
one of them. I think you retweeted. Someone said this dance was made for all lesbians, and I was just.
I love that. There's so many.
She just needs like. Somebody like to just hold her and take her through and be like, it's gonna be okay. So she goes to the psych ward. Here you go. Let's write season three.
Like she's gonna go to the therapy, and then is someone she can go home to as well.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how amazing that will be if we find her as a grown woman who's come from, you know, being a leader, a spiritual leader, cult leader, guru, whatever, to then coming to rock bottom, basically, in a psych ward. And all the other interesting characters around that, kind of reflective of the community that she was just leading, right? Like that in itself is really interesting. And maybe Misty ends up working there. Who knows?
Oh gosh, Misty. Guys, we're gonna get to Misty, but you're not done with my very intense Yellow Jackets trivia test.
So wait, what's the score? Is it like 3-0?
Well,
you get that point.
Jazz, no, I really don't, because she picked C, which was Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir, which is the only thing I know how to say in French. So we're giving she has 3-0. So what did Lottie do to get her forehead scar?
Oh, beep, beep, buzz, 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 beep, beep. What the fuck is beep, beep? I'm now a horn on a
yellow jacket went by and went beep, beep, like a
beep, beep. She smashed her head in the window, which was part of the seance. Now, I also got some flack from the fact that we didn't have Lottie's scar. But every day, my makeup artist would put a little scar there. And it's really interesting because... it just didn't really ever show, but every day we did it. And so she was like, please defend me. I'm always putting this scar on there for you. And I was like, okay.
This is her there defense. This entire podcast is now dedicated to that. She's doing her job. I'm sorry that turn the like brightness up on your television. You'll see it.
Screenshot it.
You guys are doing so well. There's only two more questions. Oh, okay. What's the name of their high school, which is also based on what New Jersey town?
You say that.
I'm going to make a multiple choice, a good one.
Okay, good.
Wisk-Yak High School, Wiskayak High School, Woodrow Wilson High School, or Hoboken High.
Hoboken High. I want it to be that, but it's not. I think it's number two. That.
I think it's two.
Yeah.
All right, Jazz, you got one. But you like were half a second slower. Maybe it's like your time in LA. I don't know.
It's 5 o'clock and I have insomnia. So
and she watches everything.
She does. In her defense, she is watching everything.
Yes.
And she has like low calcium magnesium, as we learned earlier.
Yeah, she needs it. Yeah. And lactic acid buildup. So we'll exactly. You know, and I'm your future right now. I'm in Tuesday. So I'm going to, you know, be coming first.
I'm not going to win this.
Okay,
I wanted to work and see you next Tuesday, but I pulled back to show that. I did not say
you still
it.
Can. You still can. This time.
Okay. How many passengers were on the plane and how many initially survived?
Fuck knows.
Yeah, I don't fucking know.
I don't know.
Like 12?
No, I think there's more. No,
more. Yeah,
they keep popping up.
Higher, 24.
Higher than 24.
Oh.
37.
Lower than 50.
42.
Close. So 45 passengers and only 34 survived.
Wow, I didn't know that. Where did you find that statistic?
Oh, I go to this site called Google, guys. So it's highly unreliable. I know. So it could be wrong. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about the characters and your brilliant castmates, too. So let's look at the characters right now and the actors. Mm-hmm. If you had to leave your dog with one character to dog sit and then one actor on your show, who would they be?
Oh, my God.
Wow, that's an evil question.
Wow, isn't that an evil question? I think Lauren.
Yeah.
Both Van and Lauren.
Okay, all right. I can see that.
Oh, no, well, baby Lottie, Courtney, because she's a dog person like me, right? So, and she's always got her dog with her. Baby Lottie, probably.
No.
No.
They're very hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've got a retriever.
I think we can all agree Thaisa just would never get a dog.
Never.
No.
I think it's lovely Lauren. I call her lovely Lauren and Van. Yeah, okay. Van seems right. Yeah. It feels like she'd have a dog at her video shop, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who would you call for help if you were locked in a car trunk?
A van, again. Adult Van. She's really tough and handy.
Reliable. Yeah.
And she's reliable. Yeah. Maybe Shauna, because she can wiggle in a knife or something. But
Shauna knows how to use the knife, that's for sure.
She knows. Kinda,
but Lauren played adult Van just tough and strong, and I loved that. Yeah. I loved her physicality around that. So I think perhaps I would trust, Lauren Van. Yeah.
I would never, like, if Misty found me in that car trunk, I would be like, I'm fine. I'm okay here. You can move on.
I'm okay. It's okay.
Oh, I was like, okay. I actually love sleeping in a car trunk locked. It's kind of a challenge. Leave me alone. Pretend you didn't see me.
Depends what kind of car. That's so funny. They're good questions. I've been asked a million questions.
Yeah.
Like, and they're always the same one is like, if you were to survive in the wilderness, what would you take with you? You know, and I'm like,
I'm not interested.
And so now I'm just, and so I just make up silly stuff with that. But I haven't been asked any of these, hence the fact I don't know any of the answers.
If you had to pick a character and one of your fellow actors, who would you live with for 1 year?
Dog.
What? A character? Yeah. None of them.
I know, right? But,
Van.
Again. Well, Lauren lives off the land and she gardens and she cooks and she also has exquisite taste in wine. So, and she lives out in the country, Lauren Ambrose, that is. Yeah. So I think I'd live there. I'd happily go stay there.
Is this the Lauren Ambrose fan club now? I think it is.
It kind of is. And I didn't expect it to be. She's just cool. But obviously Melanie, I adore. And she also has great taste in wine, and she does amazing cheese boards. This is a true story. Yeah, they're always so decadent. Yeah, she licked the cheese and she put it down.
What do you think Melanie's character, what do you think Shauna would do if she was in that succession scene with Roman and the cheese?
She'd probably take his head and smash it on the board.
I know, but blindfolded. And then
she would have eaten it. She wouldn't have licked it. She would have eaten it. I mean,
one of her most savage moves was probably just like blindfolding herself and doing that little autopsy or whatever, chopping. Disgusting.
That was, yeah. See, I think so. Seeing all of that too, and the eating, and even when Travis eats Harvey's heart, I was like, wow, they're not pulling any punches here.
No.
They're just.
And I just was wondering, like, is there salmonella poisoning? Like, is anyone concerned? Like, it's a raw heart.
No, I think the body had been frozen. So I think it's just like, you know, it's like snap frozen.
Oh, like biting into an apple or frozen.
Yeah, no, yeah. Heat. It hadn't been left. It was fresh. It was fresh heart. And he was young and healthy.
Fresh heart.
He'll survive. He'll be fine.
He will. That guy's got a lot of heart, they say. Okay, so who would you push off a cliff with no remorse at all? And for your cast, I'm not asking you to murder them. For your cast, who would you jump off of a cliff to save? These are hard. But
These are hard.
Yeah.
Who would I push off a cliff? The character I would probably push off the cliff, given she's pretty much done the same, would be Misty.
Misty, 100%. I would help you.
Yeah.
Yeah. She, you know, like she's.
I would watch her fall all the way down to make sure she was dead.
Yeah. And then throw a rock just in case, right? On top.
Yeah. Because you know she's not going to die right away. She's going to be one of those people that still survives.
But honestly, no, no. So that other rock hitting her, she's trying to get up. You're going to be like, yeah, I think Misty. Although she does mean well sometimes. She does. And she has a positive attitude, but she's still a murderer. I think also the character that I would jump to save. What are we landing on?
It's not a good place. You're like going
it's not. So it's like who you would take a bullet for, right?
Yeah,
who you
would basically. Really
take a bullet for. I think Melanie and yeah, if we had to choose one, I'd take a bullet for Melanie. In the arm again, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would take one for Lauren only because I know she has like garden and wine and stuff. But I do.
And you want to go
shooting, Lauren?
Yeah. Well, I'll save her. You save Melanie, and together we have like a crudité.
So I should save like who? Thaisa.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but we're only killing the characters. We're only saving the real people.
Oh.
Yeah. So who did you say, Jazz?
Who would I kill?
You need to save Christina Ricci because she's getting murdered in every other alternate.
Well, reality. I would save Christina because it's Christina. Who would I kill? Can it be anybody?
Yeah.
I'd kill Jeff.
Oh, yeah. He's annoying. I'm gonna agree with you.
Because I cannot get the
Callie was a bit
last
annoying.
Resort. Moment out of my head. I had Last Resort.
Which one? Papa Which Roach. One?
So in episode one of season two, mm-hmm. where Jeff is in the car the garage and he's like listening to The Last Resort by Papa Roach. I was like, I could not get that song out of my head forever. And
that's why you're killing Jeff?
Yes.
Because of that song? Have you seen the rest of the show?
I did think, though, that Warren's character, Jeff, when he's in the kitchen and Elijah's character has just given the cop the, you know, phenobarbital in the chocolate drink, hot chocolate, I thought Warren did a really great job in that scene where he's like, what the fuck? Remember? Like, what? And he's on the ground and he's like, what the? Like, you really see him, like, shitting his pants. And I was like, this is cool. We're seeing yet another side to it, you know, like I'm interested to see where that goes and what happens between these two characters. Like maybe Shauna's out, maybe she leaves Jeff, and you know, that's whatever. But I did think that was kind of cool. It's such a crazy character, but it's such a good character, and I think he plays that wet jock husband really well. Don't
really
you?
Well, and you see him, like, even as an adult, you're like, I see what this guy was when he was younger. Like,
yeah,
he's
totally
absolutely perfect casting.
Yeah, and he's really good in it too. I mean, as is Sarah, who plays Kelly. I mean, that's a tough role to play.
Definitely.
You know, like she even takes a piss out of herself saying, I'm the least liked character on Yellow Jackets. But it's I think we see her now grow into a young woman. And yeah. Even though she's 28-year-old woman in real life, she's we see her come into her own. And there were a few sort of shots in that finale of her sort of like rising to it. You know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So
no.
Yeah, I thought, yeah, those kind, that kind of storyline. But again, there was so many, you know, I feel perhaps we need to watch it again. I need to watch it again.
I need to watch it again because I was like, yeah. My eyes were closed for some of it.
Yeah, all that.
But it's really hard to watch because it's like sad too and disturbing. Like you're seeing like.
I know. And I have to be honest right now with all television, I'm watching even my screeners that I get. I'm waiting until the last minute because of the strike. I really want everything to last longer. And I'm like, no, I need to know that I have it banked here. And, you know, there's so many great shows also ending right now, like Ted Lasso. Like we're losing.
Oh, so that's the end of Ted Lasso?
Yeah, I think it's the finale is this Wednesday, I believe.
Is that the official thing, though? Or
I don't know. Some part of me feels like they're playing some tricks because they haven't really committed to it in interviews, but I don't know.
How many seasons was Ted Lasso then? How many?
This is the third season. Okay. Which character would you be friends with and invite over to dinner, and what meal would you have for the last question like this? I kind of think we sort of answered that a little bit. Oh, no. I'm thinking of Melanie's cheese board. Sorry. I'm so sorry. When someone says cheese board, you've lost me. That's all I focus on.
I can't eat cheese
anymore. I get lost
with
wine. Oh, no. Well, there's a charcuterie board as well. So.
Yeah, well, I'm obsessed with charcuterie. That I could do, maybe.
Yeah. Wait, Jess.
Yeah.
Are you a vegetarian?
I go in and out of different phases of being a vegan.
She just wants to be invited to our party. She's like,
she's so on the guest list. In fact, when I'm in LA next, we are going out and you can have the charcuterie and I will have the cheese plate.
You guys, I'm going to be in LA the week of June 20th. So if you guys are there, I will.
Where are you? Where are you right now?
I'm in New York right now. So.
Oh, no way. Oh, look at us. We're all over the place.
We're everywhere.
Wow. I think all look. Yeah, I think it's any of them. I adore them all and we've all become very close. So, and that's not a cliche, you know, we're all like, I think Christina said it perfectly. We're like, we fight, we get shitty with each other, but our emotions are so peaked when we come onto set, you know, and there were times where we're all, you know, sort of snap at each other behind the scenes, but then when we come to work, where, you know, when we're all together and we do these scenes together, we just celebrate it and we laugh. Oh my god, fuck, we laugh so much. And then we're back into character, you know, and it's so nice because we're still getting to know each other, but we're fraught. We're especially Lottie, you know, she's playing these, I'm playing these huge emotions all the time, and it was so kind of crazy. But then we'd all go away and go out for dinner and get crazy drunk and have a ball. So, you know, it was kind of worth it. But yeah, it's a good cast. They're good people.
This segues really nicely into the next thing I love to do. So I'm going to name a few of your co-stars and I want you to tell me, you know, it's kind of an appreciation exercise.
Nice.
The best thing about working with them. Okay. So let's start with Christina.
The best thing about working with Christina is easily the fact she's so professional. Like she never drops a line. On set, she knows it's like it's a camera craft that she has because she's been in front of a camera all her life. And when you do a scene with Christina, she's so good. Like, I'm shocked. Well, no, I'm not shocked because I guess I would be shocked if it were any other way. But her on-set skills are some of the best. And that's unless you're an actor working on the, you know, on in these hours with these cameras, with these lights, with all the dialogue that we have, she's a real professional on set.
What does it take for her to break character? Like, what makes her laugh every time?
She's a storyteller. Christina's such a storyteller, so she's got a little anecdote or story for most things. You know, like if someone's like, "Oh, hey, I had a club sandwich," she'll be like, "Okay, so this one time, I'm in New York, and so I'm eating this club sandwich, and this fucking truck," you know, like she'll always have a sandwich. She'll always have a story for everything. And for that, I love it, because she takes these memories. So like you'll be telling a story and she'll be like, and she'll outdo your story by 100. And you're like,
I love it.
So yeah, that she's really entertaining. Yeah.
She reached you. I like that though. That's a good skill. Okay. Juliette Lewis.
Okay. So Juliette, she and the two of us, we had a lot of work together, and Juliette has a different preparation than I do. And my prep is, you know, I'm still the new girl. I'm still sort of arriving at the scene of the crime, so to speak. And she's already there and embedded in her character. So for the first few episodes, I was really finding Lottie as well. And because they don't give us scripts in advance, I couldn't sketch my arc of my story of where I wanted her to be and where I want to see her at the end. So they were my little, you know, things I had to really work at. But Juliet works on a different level, and she works at a different pace. I'm a nerd. And because I'm working in dialect, I am constantly running my lines. I am constantly finding different ways to say and speak them and feel them and change my voice and drop my register and go into Lottie, you know, and that's where I would go with Lottie. But Juliet kind of comes in and she picks up the sides and she's wild. She's fucking rock and roll, baby, you know, and she's got the, she picks up the sides, and I love her fluidity, and she's very alive. So unlike me, I'm very practiced. She's like, okay, fuck yeah. Let's rehearse. Let's block this, you know? And I'm like, and she's like, so where are we? And I'm like, well, Miss Nerdy Pants, I'm like, well, so we've just come from here and we've been there, but remember that other scene? So this is a reflection of that scene. And she's like, okay. And then she fucking knocks it out of the park.
That's amazing.
You know, and yeah. And so I'm like, huh. But because she's so alive and present in it, she just, and you know, it's not like it's about getting one take. She doesn't care about that. To me, I love to nail things. It's always my second take. I get it. I play and then I get it. And then I always do one more for safety. That's sort of my thing, I feel, depending on the scene, obviously. But with Juliet, she's very much like, she can do as many takes as she wants. She doesn't even think in that world. And that's really interesting. It's a whole different way of acting. And it's a, you know, I think maybe Christina and I are more alike, and Juliet is very much just let's go with it.
Yeah.
You know, that, and she's so like that.
That is such a brilliant like impersonation.
Like exactly.
I've spent so much time with Juliet, and we have laughed and we have cried and we've fucking done so much together. And she's exceptional and unique. And
so one thing that makes her laugh and one thing that makes her mad.
My potty mouth, as we would call it, makes her laugh. Mm-hmm. She's like, Simone, you're so funny, like this. And I can get very dirty. And when I'm bored, I get really potty mouthed and dirty. And she's like, go on, like say, like she, I'm always in, I feel like I'm entertaining her. And I think, and in my accent, she's like, you're the only one who can get away with saying darling. She's like, if I say it, I sound so sleazy, like this. And I'm like, darling, can I get a cup of tea? And she's like, how do you do that? You know? And so it's really cute. So I think I make her laugh when we're working together. I think a lot makes Juliet laugh. She's fucking very cool. And what was the other question about?
What makes her mad?
Oh, I think late nights, I think being hungry. She's constantly eating. She's where hungry, it goes, I don't know. She's angry. The hours, crew not getting their shit together. And when a scene is repetitive, if she's like, I've already done this, like, what the fuck? Why are we doing this again? Kind of thing. That makes her angry.
I just want you to be like on my phone, like artificial intelligence, and just do Juliet's response to whatever's happening.
She really is so great and different, and you know, and I've kept her card on wrap, and it's just, you know, again, last minute scribbled out, and you know, on wrap we all gave each other gifts, and you know, I'd really thought about what I wanted to bring her and everybody, and you know, and then I think Juliet was just like, cool, I'm just gonna grab whatever, and she gave me a cookie jar, and I was like, okay.
So random and so perfect.
Random. And I was like, I have to fly back to Australia with this giant cookie jar, but amazing. Thank you.
Did you get to put your cookie jar in your Yellow Jackets bin? Oh my
God.
Well, I'm going to steal one of those. You watching?
I know. Now everyone will know. Okay. Melanie, what is the best thing about working with her?
Ah, Melanie, I think it's just hearing her accent, given we're from the same country and land, and we grew up with the same experiences and the same people, and it's having that familiarity, it's having that family on set. And I didn't realize it would nourish me so, but it really did, especially as the season, we're all isolated, we're all there. Having Melanie there and just connecting with her as a New Zealander, but also just we grew up together at that same time. And she was a childhood star, as was I, in New Zealand. So it's just that familiarity. And I often feel very, when I'm on set, especially in Canada or working with a lot of Americans, I feel so vastly different because I'm just so culturally different. Yeah. And I had her as my cookie jar then, you know, like she was that warm hot water bottle, and having her there was just, I was like, okay. And, you know, just checking in if I was on the right level with things and understanding the tone of the show. So yeah, she was that for me for sure.
That is the nicest compliment. If someone told me someone will one day say you're a cookie jar, I'd be like, what the but it is so heartfelt and
you're
nice.
My cookie jar. We all love a cookie jar that's filled with cookies, right?
What makes Melanie laugh and what makes her mad?
What makes her mad? When did she throw a shit bit? She never really does. She's pretty good, you know. Like,
oh, that's good.
Maybe she goes home and poor Jason's like, but I doubt
she whips out her knife set from some set and she's like, listen, I can do this blindfolded. And she just cuts her cheese board.
Yeah, and she just
and it all comes back
like that. Yeah, yeah. Who knows? She might take it out on that fucking charcuterie board or cheese board. I don't see Melanie angry ever. In fact, I think, you know, we get impatient when it's cold or we're fucking over it. But no, she's not somebody, I think she's a private person in regards to that. You know, she's pretty fucking cool.
I do love when she takes someone down on Twitter publicly.
But she does it so well. Best.
Yeah.
You know, and she puts them in their place, but also her values are correct. She's got very good values and she's very open-minded. She's not like, this is my opinion and take it or leave it. She's very much, okay, well, I'm open to your thoughts as well. However, these are mine. And she does it so
beautiful. So good.
It's just like so savage and perfect. I love it. Tawny.
Tawny. So working with Tawny, I didn't get a lot of time to work with Tawny.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, but we spend a lot of time socially together. Because we were both in apartments down the road from each other. Tawny and I like to drink a lot together. And we're like, we'll just go for one. And it never ends up with one. This is terrible. But she's just like, hey, you want to get dinner? And I know in my heart, and I have to say to myself, Simone, one drink. I tell myself,
you know, one thing to help, one bottle is more economical. That's what I say at the beginning of every terrible night.
Well, you go, do you want to share? Should we share a bottle? And they go, I'll have one glass. And then, or they order something else and you are stuck with the bottle, but part of you is full of glee because you're like, I get it. It's so bad. I know.
There's something about that, that we're all these kids who are like, we can have a drink on our own.
Oh my God. And I get to drink all of that. And so Tawny and I are not good with each other. There's two things that we do. We drink too much together and then we go shopping. But we were both bored because we would have our weekends and we didn't have enough time to fly home. So she'd be like, hey, babe, you want to? And I was like, yeah, let's go shopping. And so we'd walk the streets and, you know, and just chat. And
are you drunk shopping? Are you drunk shopping? No, or are you shopping
then dangerous? That always, is dangerous.
It's so dangerous. And we would go shopping. And then right at the end, I was like, hey, want to go shopping? She goes, I'm tapping out from shopping with you. And I was like, what does that mean?
Who's the biggest spender, you or her?
Well, she was a big spender at the beginning because she had all these events to go to. But I was Nigel No Mates and also Nigel nobody knew who I was. So she was going off to Emmys and awards and everything. And I was left in Vancouver. And I was like, what am I going to do? And it wasn't enough time to fly back to Australia. So, you know, she was buying up beautiful things then. I was more sort of frugal with everything. And then, you know, as the money started to flow, I was like, yeah, let's shop. And then I did the conversion of the dollar and I was like, oh, maybe we shouldn't shop so much. But it was just, what else is on the weekend? You know, you need to kind of snap out of the Yellow Jackets world. So that's what we would do. But every shopping would end with
I want to go shopping in LA and drinks with Nigel No Mates.
Nigel No Mates.
She sounds like such a legend.
I was like literally walking around Vancouver like, hi, like I had no mates. And it was, and then one girlfriend flew over right at the end and I was like, thank you so much for coming. Thank you. Like, and we had a ball together and they would all fly off on the weekends, you see, but
yeah,
because of the time to fly to Australia takes 2 days.
Usually staying in a hotel is a lot of joy the first night, but if you don't know anyone, a hotel room is the saddest place in the world.
Depressing.
It's the going down and getting the one coffee, you know, in the morning or sitting there at the breakfast. And they take the other plate away. Yeah. They go, for two? And you go, no.
Just me.
And they go, so. And they take the other setting away, like you're going to muck it up or spoil it. And then you're just sitting there going, oh my God. I don't even have a lover.
And then sometimes if you have to sit on your bed and eat and you just turn the TV on, you're like,
this is really depressing.
I posted a story last, I was like lying eating cheese puffs in bed and I was like, and I don't give a shit, and I'm just lying in the hotel bed with like going, and here I am, I've been working nights and I'm just covered in cheese puff crumbs, and I was like,
Nigel No Mates, not wondering.
Nigel No Mates,
zero fucks.
Zero fucks and cheese puffs. I love it. Okay, best thing about working with Lauren.
Oh, she's great. She's such a professional. She's what you see is what you get. You know, she does her homework. She's incredibly well-read. She's off socials. She doesn't, you know, she's social media is like to her, you know, so she comes from a different perspective and she's always comes from an intelligent perspective and she's always open to talking about the scene, which I found so refreshing, especially in the last two episodes. So we were in that sharing shack a lot. Yeah. You know, and Lottie's kind of putting together her plan of giving the tea with the phenobarbital in it and saying, look, this is our only chance, you know, and everyone's so busy. And I think Daisy directed that and then Karen, and I was getting a little bit fraught in it as with the character, but also offset because I had so much that I wanted to make sure my timeline of Lottie was correct, that the unraveling was done well from here to here. I didn't want to unravel too much here and have nowhere to go, or, you know, so I was like, am I pitching it? And Lauren, she, you know, when people are very considered and she's very calm and I'm like, ah, and she's like, so where do you think Lottie is sitting with this right now? And I'd be like, and the first thing as an actor, you're like, is she giving me notes? You know, because as it was on set. But I'm okay with that. I'm quite happy if she's like, try it this way. But she wouldn't say that. She'd just be like, okay, so if she's sitting there, how do you think she's feeling? And I'd be like,
that's so helpful.
And it's so helpful. You know, that's a gift. And
yeah, that is a gift.
She just had this sense and this calmness, which is worth its weight in gold. And I would look, and especially because my character's like, I feel naked. I feel completely vulnerable and naked and broken and tired and tortured and hungry emotionally. Like I'm just, you know, and I would look across at Lauren in between setting up for the next take or shot. And she'd just look at me and nod. And it was really lovely. And I was like, okay, I'm on track. That's what that meant. That's a very generous actor. Yeah, you know, and that's
she's so good that your impersonation of her, it was like talking to a therapist. I was like, yes, tell me everything.
This is what I mean with her.
What should I do
and
next?
I want to say something silly and smutty or something when I can. And even then, she'll just smile at my silliness. And I always feel like she's like my mother. And I always feel a bit silly. She's like,
Listen, Nigel, practical. No mates. Nigel. I know you're eating cheese puffs alone. So why don't you settle down?
Why don't we just calm down? And then I remember at one point we were drinking wine and she goes, and I'm just raving. And she goes to me, she goes, so who do you talk to about all of this? And I was
oh my gosh.
And I go, what you mean like a therapist? And she goes, yeah, like a therapist. And I was like, well, I'm talking to you.
And you, Dr. Ambrose, hello?
Yeah, you gave me stuff on set. Now take it off set. I need you.
Oh, my goodness.
And she was like, okay. And then I came away from that going, fuck, I think I need therapy.
I know.
That was Lauren's lovely way of saying, Simone, maybe you need some therapy.
Yeah, we should just invite Lauren to every family gathering and be like, talk to Lauren. She's got stuff to say.
Everyone's going to be in therapy.
So, you know, that actually segues nicely into Lottie. You know, we, of course, loved hearing her backstory. But before we knew all that, like, what did you tell yourself about Lottie?
Well, I think, you know, Jazz and I were talking before in an interview just about the fact that there's many layers to Lottie. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to kind of, but I didn't have that permission. I remember saying to Bart at one point, there's three Lotties. And he looked at me like, what does that mean? There's three Lotties. But then I realized he comes from it as a writer and I was coming at it as an actor.
Yeah.
And there's such different processes, you know, the process of his work is so different to that. He's gifted me this character. Now, how I deal with that character is completely up to me now, right? Like when you get a role, I mean, in that realm of what works for the show tonally and with the rest of the cast. So coming into that, I was like, I really wanted to have the three Lotties, one which is the public Lottie, the guru, the goddess. The second one is behind closed doors of really being, dealing with her PTSD. And then the third is the complete nude, naked unraveling with the full Scooby-Doo mask off and really like vulnerable. And I sort of would find it. And in my notes, I'd always have one, two or three written beside my character, like, where is she at?
Yeah.
And there, you know, they were all the process. That was the process of finding Lottie. And I love her. I think she's, you know, she is somebody who kind of breaks my heart.
Yeah.
And I think when I watched that finale, it wasn't till the end when I see her sitting there crying. And I see her as somebody else. I mean, this is probably why I need the therapy that Lauren was talking about.
Lauren so gently told you, you do.
You know, but I do, I see her as this other person. And at the end when she's just there and she's completely in a different world, you know, and that sort of broke my heart a bit too, because I know what I had to tap in to get there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does.
Of my own PTSD.
Well, it's interesting you said, you know, going back to what Lauren said about who do you talk to, you know, if you look at shows like Succession, and Jeremy Strong has said, you know, he's a method actor. I just saw an interview with him where he was saying, oh, when we have dinner, and then he goes, oh, the show's over, when they have dinner. And, you know, it's hard to get out of your head And if you can't separate those two, I'm not saying that you can't, but you know, it, I feel like also when a show or whether it goes for one season, two seasons, you just get so into it, to separate from that character is very hard. Like, I'm sure, you know, on some level, Brian Cox probably has like a little Logan in him where he thinks like, you know, has all that internalized power, and stepping away from that. I do think every show, long running show, should give their actors therapy to deal with the grief of the show ending. Thank you. That's my TED talk on that.
I love that. And we need to be out there with on the picket fence saying we actually all need
therapy
too.
How many sessions? 5.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the audiences need therapy too.
I know, right? Like, it's so interesting that for sure. But yes, we should all talk about things and absolutely like break it down more, because I think after shooting that, I think I needed a little bit of therapy. I needed to share.
I think everyone did. I think viewers needed. I think therapy is great for everyone. And this was paid for by Dr. Lauren Ambrose. So you get to end the show and end Lottie's story. Ideal ending for her. How would you write that?
Well, you mean like as in the next season?
Next season, or maybe one? Like, what do you think Lottie's happy ending would be?
I think she started out with her happy ending, don't you think? Like, yeah. Imagine she was so, and I think there was even a moment, you remember she had the bees and everything. She was so proud of her, you know, farm to table lifestyle. The fact that she had all these beautiful people. I remember I would just walk around in my floaty caftans and just go and touch all the lovely acolytes and the extras and be like, you know, stroking a chicken in the back of Shard. And I think that was her perfect world. It would be my perfect world. You know, imagine living there. And
Lottie's last scene, she's stroking a chicken. Nigel No Mates is here again, guys.
Lottie and her chicken and her bees.
And then Shauna comes around the corner, blindfolds herself, and murders the
with
chicken.
A cheese plate.
With a cheese plate.
That's just tragic. Stop it.
That, I know. That's the more likely ending. So guys, you know, I think we've done such a good job. We've talked Succession, which is kind of like our binge, to be honest with you. We've talked Yellow Jackets. So, you know, one thing I do want to ask, what has been your best fan interaction to date? And what has been your strangest fan interaction? Or funniest fan interaction?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the crazy fan thing is when people come up and they're like, when they don't really know, but they recognize you, but they don't know what from. And then they go, oh, but what were you in? And you go... And I always have that, well, we can't pick it. Like, and then you have to go through your entire CV and be like, well, maybe it was this or maybe it was that. And they're like, no. And then they always say, oh, I don't really watch much TV. And you're like, but you've got to be really nice.
Yeah, you're like, will I ever get that time back in my life? I will.
Yeah,
I won't.
Yeah. And it's just like, or they're like, oh my God. So I did like a moment on a show here called Wellmania last year with Celeste Barber, and she's great, she's fantastic, and I was in it for like 1 second, and everybody keeps coming up and going, Wellmania, and I go, yes, like that, oh yeah, like, and I haven't even seen it. And then the other one is bloody fucking Night Agent. I'm in like 3 scenes in the Night
Agent. That's Netflix.
That's Netflix.
They're both Netflix.
Yeah, my family friend, James Vanderbilt, wrote that, I believe. We grew up together right down the street and went to school together.
Well, that show is huge.
I haven't watched it yet. Like, I should have him on.
It's huge. And even like when I was in LA, people were like, hey, and I'm like thinking, here are your Yellow Jackets.
So let me help you out. Next time someone says, what are you in? Just say Golden Girls and walk away.
Well, I used to say porn. And get a little chuckle, right? And then, but then it always ends badly because then they feel uncomfortable and then I feel uncomfortable and, you know, so I don't.
What would Lauren say if she was in this conversation?
She's so fucking cool. She'd be like, oh, well, perhaps you saw me on Broadway or something.
That's what she would say. But wait, the thing is, like, the sense of humor about the porn, that would work in, that would fly in the UK and fly in Australia. It just doesn't fly in America because no. The humor is so different.
It's so different. It's such like, a good answer to jokes. And like guys, that. To clarify, I meant, what would Lauren say if you said porn? What would be her reaction?
She would laugh. That? She would laugh. She's got a great sense of humor. She would burst out laughing and she'd be like, I knew it. Or something, and she would add to it. You know, like she would so add to it. I mean, yeah, I know.
Golden
so
Girls After Hours. Yeah. That's what
Golden Girls. Yeah, yeah.
After Hours.
After Hours or something, you know, like I remember once we were going through the television and this show came up, Busty Cops. And I was like, I'm going to say that, right? And so I always think it and get the giggles, but I can never actually say Busty Cops. But I may just say it.
You guys, I want to see like Nigel Nomates and the Busty Cops.
You recognize me, some of my, yeah, Nigel Nomates and Busty Cops. But then, I mean, I've done so much shitty television that I could probably pull out actual some of the roles I've played. But of late, yeah, it seems to be, quite a lot now here in Australia. Like over the weekend, I had four people randomly come up and be like, I'm a massive Yellow Jackets fan. And I was like, oh, this is great. You know, and then actually I did, this is my only ever second podcast. I did one last week for the first time ever for Vogue here in Australia. And there was a room full of, you know, wonderful women, and we were in these gorgeous offices, and they were all like, look, we have to confess, we're big Yellow Jackets fans. And I was like, this is amazing, wonderful, thank you. You know, and these girls, one of them said to me, she started crying and she said, thank you so much for your representation of mental health. And it really hit me. And I said, yeah. What resonated for you? And she just said, I've struggled for a long time. And when she was, so, she just, it, she said, I've struggled for a long time, and seeing you play Lottie in that way made it feel all okay. And I was really taken with that. And I went, thank you for saying that, you know, and obviously you don't go too far with it, but everyone finds something different in this show, and everyone's attracted or drawn to a specific character. And there are so many great characters in the show, so that it's kind of interesting what they cling on to, you know.
Yeah. That's like a really beautiful like fan.
It wasn't really, yeah, that yeah. was a really, yeah. you know, there's silly ones, but this one really stuck with me because I could see she was really perfect. Emotional wow. and in it. And I was very taken with that because it means I've done my job, you know.
Yeah, you have. Oh well, thank you guys. This was so wonderful. You know, I think we know what we should watch while we're waiting for Lottie to come back. Wackier than ever. I think this whole podcast is like a commercial for mental health and therapy. Therapy is very therapeutic, guys. The one thing I will say that's sad is with the writer's strike right now, I don't think we're going to get enough of you. So what besides Night Agent can we watch? What do you want people to see?
You don't need to watch the Night Agent.
I'm going
to
watch.
I'm waiting for like one episode.
I'm in with a gun running around like that.
With a gun. All right.
What else is there? I don't know what else you could watch. Oh, I did a film that I got, but a very playing a wife of a biker, you know, like in, it's called 1%. And it's a very gritty, real drama. It's a film, and I ended up getting the whole cast got nominations for the Australian, which is like the Academy Awards here, which was a film. And that was great, but Nicole Kidman beat me.
I've heard of her. I've heard of her. Was she in Busty Betty Two Cops? What?
Yeah, I've seen her Busty Cops.
Busty Cops.
She won for Busty Cops.
Yeah.
But I remember when I was like, oh, I got a nomination. And then I saw who I was up against, and I was like,
yeah, you're like, no.
Yeah,
but you can always say you lost to Nicole Kidman, which is also an award.
And that's what I'm saying right now. I lost to Nicole Kidman. So, that's a really interesting film, and in regards to the underworld of bikers, but it's more the fact of the character that I play is vastly different from anything you know I've sort of done before. But Outlaws or 1%, I don't know, they changed the title.
Okay. Or here's my recommendation, everyone: rewatch season 2 of Yellow Jackets. You have the time, and you're going to notice so many more amazing things, not only about your character, but everyone. And then call your therapist, because you'll need to. You absolutely will.
Oh. We didn't talk about this is going
wait,
to
she,
hurt.
Wait, she froze right then. That's how she ended the episode. Way. She just froze. I was like, oh, she's really listening to me. Really focusing.
Wait, you're going to wait.
I don't know if she'll ever move again. What everyone can't see right now.
Nigel No Mates just froze.
Nigel No Mates got no mates because she is frozen. Well, you know, it's great. She was wonderful. She really
Nigel
was.
Nigel No Mates just froze.
There you are.
Wait, oh,
there
Nigel you are. No Mates.
We were like, Nigel No Mates just froze.
You really, we just kept it going. And you froze in the most elegant, thoughtful way.
It was perfect.
So good.
But wait, I was just going to say, we didn't talk about this is going to hurt because I have to talk
Well, we're
that.
Not going to, Jazz, because I'm so sorry. We're saving that for another episode. I know you love Ben. All right. So really quickly, Simon, tell us what your binge show was going to be. But we ended up talking about Succession and Yellow Jackets. So
we did. I'm sure there's way more eloquent sort of takes on Succession than us going. But what's said is This Is Gonna Hurt, obviously, is a show I could not stop watching. Jazz?
Well, we're going to have to talk about it next time. I'm so sorry.
I know.
We've been talking so long.
And instead of watching anything I've done, forget that. Just if you haven't, treat yourself to This Is Going to Hurt. Adam McKay, played by Ben Whishaw.
I watched the pilot, and it's like very traumatic from a gynecological point of view. So just know that anything having to do with Simone right now is traumatic.
Wait, well, it's mental health.
Wait.
And mental health and Nigel.
I have to say, talking about trauma, the Easter egg in episode, the Kinder egg in episode 2 made me like squat.
Squirt?
Wow.
Squirt. Oh my God.
And on that note.
And the podcast is now over. Everyone, thanks for joining us. Jazz, you're not allowed to talk anymore, and I clearly need to listen. Guys, really, check out Yellow Jacket season 2. Phenomenal work. And we're done. We're done. We'll probably be back with more because the three of us clearly have a lot to talk
dying
about.
Dying because this is going to...
Okay, I'm really not editing this one, and I'm so sorry. Everyone, I heard squirt. She said squirm, and Nigel No Mates is... Now I'm going to have no mates because I'm ending this. Okay.
He's proposing to her. Okay,
so
wait.
Funny.
You can cut this out, but so he proposed.
I'm not cutting anything out. This is, we're unfiltered.
Wait.
Okay, wait for this.
All right, she swallows a Kinder egg. I keep saying Easter egg. She swallows a Kinder egg, which is in a, you know, what a Kinder egg is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
She swallows it. She goes into hospital. He pulls it, the doctor pulls it out of her vagina. And she uses it to propose to the guy. And that's why when you said squirt, I just died.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Yellow Jackets this whole time.
Oh, like an Easter egg in the show? Yeah, like what are the Easter eggs?
I'm so sorry.
No.
No.
And when you said
in episode
2,
this happens. Yeah, and he pulls it out of her.
Yeah.
You know, and that's,
I'm so sorry. Did you two not hear the rules? We're not talking about that show, and I'm never speaking to either of you again. Thank you, Simone. This was amazing and fantastic work. Do you see that I'm rapping now for the third time? Do any of you have anything to add? Okay.
No, other than
thank you.
Thank you,
guys. This was amazing.
That was fun. Thank you.
And we'll see you again soon for another
for
show.
Sure.
That
I can't
together.
Wait.
All
I can't
right,
wait.
Guys.
Thank
I'm not
you.
Allowed back.
Thank you.
You've got to.